Welcome to the Dream Hub podcast, where we delve into the mysterious and fascinating world of dreams. I'm Melissa Johnson, and today we have a truly special guest, Jen Sonstein Maidenberg, a writer, dream researcher, and natural dreamwork practitioner. Jen has an extensive background in exploring the depths of dreams, memory, and time, and she's here to share her insights and experiences with us. Whether you're fascinated by the paranormal, interested in the healing powers of dream work, or simply curious about the mysteries of the subconscious, today's episode promises to be an enlightening journey. So sit back, relax, and let's dive into the world of dreams with Jen. Thank you for coming and welcome to the show.
Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to chat to you and hear all about this natural dream work. But to start off, could you just let us know about your journey, how you got into dream research, and how you became a natural dream work practitioner?
Sure, no problem. Thanks for asking. I've been into dreams, obsessed with dreams, since I was a kid. I was the kind of kid who would wake up from a dream and not know that I was back in real life, or questioning, did that really happen? I was the kind of kid that always wanted to talk about my dreams, and I didn't have such a ready audience for that, and the people and the adults and the kids around me. And so dreams were just sort of sidelined for a while, even though they were something I was super interested in. And along the way, I would have some unique experiences in dreams too, but also didn't have anyone to talk about that with. So I might have dreams where I felt like I was not me. I was somebody else. I was in the awareness of somebody else, even though I didn't have that language back then. I sometimes would have premonitions in dreams, just a lot of unique experiences that came up for me in dreams, and no one really to talk about it with. And then one day, many, many years later, while I was just living my life, working, being a mom, married, I started having more of what I was calling psychic dreams. And the urge to prove what was happening to me as real became urgent. I think a part of it was that I felt like the people around me didn't believe me, and I had a sense that it was really happening. But I think I also needed to start proving it to myself. So I started doing some research. This was about 12 or 13 years ago. I started doing research online to see what I could find out about psychic dreams, and there really wasn't a lot available back then. And so I realized the only way I could probably really prove it to myself and to others was to start keeping a really strict journal of my dreams, recording them every day. And then when things happened in waking life, hopefully I would have a witness, the waking life encounter, and proof in my dream journal. So that's when the research really started. It was about 12 or 13 years ago. And then what happened is I started getting proof, started having more validation those experiences were happening. And then something else started to open up in my dreams, completely unexpected, which is that I was starting to have healing encounters inside my dreams. There was an emotional component. And that created for me a completely different perspective about dreams, that maybe there was an opportunity inside dreams for healing that I wasn't aware of before. And that's when things started to sort of shift for me in terms of, well, maybe I want to turn this into a career and not just a hobby.
Mm-hmm. What did you experience? Like, what was the healing dream?
Yeah. So at that point in my life, there were a couple of relationships that I hadn't had closure around, and for lots of reasons, wasn't in touch with certain friends or an ex-boyfriend or a person that had passed, couldn't be in contact with them. And so I started having these really intense encounters with these individuals in my dreams. And they felt so real, when I woke up that there was some sort of therapeutic side effect to that. So it might be that I was driving in a car and my ex-boyfriend was in the back seat, and I had the chance to sort of turn around and tell him what I really thought. Or, there was an opportunity to meet up with my grandmother and have conversations that I wasn't able to have with her when she was still alive. And the most powerful thing was the fact that when I woke up, there was strong feeling. It didn't feel like story. It didn't feel imagined. There was feeling. There was real feeling there. And that was really curious to me. And like I said, not my original intention. I was really into personal development. I've always been into spiritual and personal development. I've been in therapy. When I started recording my dreams, it was really on a mission to prove that psychic dreams were a thing. I didn't expect that some of these wounds that I've been trying to heal for a long time using other methods would spontaneously begin to heal through my dreams.
Wow, that's so cool. I know, yes, there's so many different healing aspects to dreams, but I love those ones where you can just get something off your chest or say how you really feel, where you wouldn't usually say that in real life, or have that moment of being able to say a goodbye to someone that you've never gotten to say goodbye to properly. I'd love to hear about more of your psychic dreams. Like what sorts of premonition dreams did you have?
So the funny thing about psychic dreams, and this I think is has become truer the more that I've been recording them and documenting them, is they're typically pretty mundane. When I was a girl, I was really lucky because I grew up with one parent who was interested in the paranormal and who believed in ESP and reincarnation and all these things that I was interested in from a really young age. And my dad, he claims to have had a premonition about the Challenger explosion, in the 80s before it happened. Nothing like that has ever happened to me. And in fact, the one event that really got me started recording my dreams in 2012 was really simple. I was going to pick up my daughter from preschool. I sat at the table where she and a friend were finishing up working on a project. And they just started having like a 3-year-old conversation with me. And I had the experience, I guess, that most people would relate as deja vu at first, that like I've been here before. And very quickly, I knew that I had been there before because I had dreamed it the night before. So most of my psychic dreams are pretty mundane. Might be a little bit too hard to get into it right now, but what happens too is that the experience that we're having when we're having a psychic dream is we're getting information outside of time or space. Some people can get that information as auditory information, a lot of people as visual information. And then when it comes into dreams, those visual images sometimes get muddled with past memories, or because they're things that have happened in the future, we don't have the context to really understand yet what it is that happened, and only when it happens, then we have the validation, oh, that was a psychic dream. But most of them are pretty mundane. That said, the future events that tend to travel back, at least in my dreams, are often ones that also have emotional resonance. And that's something I had to learn over time as well. There's something about emotion and feeling that allows messages from the future or from the past or from a past life get into our dreams. There's definitely a link, a connection between. We know there's a connection between emotion and memory. We know there's a connection between sensory experience and memory, and I believe that's also the case for future memories.
Wow, that's so cool. I love it. It's actually probably good that your psychic dreams are mundane because it's just saying that you got nothing to worry about coming up. And I wonder if there was something big, it would come through for you. I think I know what you mean by sometimes I'll have really long dreams and it's not what I think it's to do. It's not a future dream, I don't think. But then amongst it all, there might be like a one-liner that's like a tiny detail that ends up being that one line was the precognitive thing, and the rest of the dream was all like emotional processing or like healing or something. And then there's just some random things in there, and you don't realize it. Like I would go back and read my dream journal from a few years ago, and it would have really specific things that have since happened that I had no idea about. Like it's like, oh, I'm in a new house and I have a really rich next door neighbor and she's paying me cash jobs to help her. And that was just a random dream from 2 years ago. And then I now live in a house and our neighbor is quite wealthy and he was paying me to help him with his social media. And I was like, I would never have realized, but yeah.
Exactly. And so when you're, especially dreams that have happened a year or 2 or 3 years ago, there's no way I think that you would remember that you
No.
had that dream, and the average person isn't. So I really think that most people have the capacity for this, if not all people. But I think there are a lot of factors that play a role. I've had psychic dreams. I've validated events as psychic dreams that I had a year before, 2 years before. I think my longest is probably 3 years before because of this element of dream tracking. I keep my dreams in a notes app so that I can search by theme or I can search by person. Something that's really interesting is that if you don't know somebody, if you're going to later meet someone, Mike, who you work with, it might turn out that Mike looks like John, who you went to camp with when you were a kid. So you might be having dreams about John, and then you meet Mike and you're like, oh wow. And then you make a connection that way. That happens quite often. The other really interesting thing I learned through this process is that there's something about time. There's something about calendar dates. I will have an event happened on February 26th, and then had dreamt about it 2 or 3 years prior on February 23rd. So there's something too about calendar dates and when you dream things.
That is really interesting. I love that. It makes me want to just go back and read like this week's journal entries from the last few years and see, because I feel like I have seen that once in mine as well. It was like a year apart and it was like, oh, I have a little baby girl, and then I didn't know, surprisingly got pregnant, and then a year later, from the timing, had a little baby girl. So I was like, oh, that's really cool
Wow.
too. But I
Yeah.
noticed it was like the same. It was like you said, like a year apart, but only like a few days off. So that's so cool. So I want to hear about this natural dream work that you do, because I hear it's all about like time and memory and everything. So would you like to tell us all about that?
As I mentioned, when I started to track my dreams and I was having these healing experiences in my dreams that were occurring spontaneously, it was a new way for me to engage with dreams. Up until that point in time, I think that I was taking the more sort of an interpretive approach to dreams and symbolic approach to dreams. As a writer, I sort of had interest in symbolism. I also had an interest in number symbolisms in dreams. But at that point in time, because I was having all these healing experiences, I started feeling a calling to doing work with other people using dreams and dream work as a healing modality. The thing was is that the modalities that I was familiar with when it came to dreams was really about interpretation and analysis. It was a very mind-centric, and it just didn't I didn't connect to it. And then I started following Roger Kamenetz, who was one of the co-founders of Natural Dream Work. And I would get his announcements about workshops he was leading, and he's written some books about dreaming. And I saw a workshop that he was advertising, the title of which was Dreams and Afflictive States of Mind. I thought, what is that? I'm afflicted. And the workshop was really about how dreaming and dream work can help with suffering, can really help us with pain. And I was 10 minutes into the workshop with Roger, and I was sold. And I knew this was the modality that I wanted to at least start practicing for myself. And within a few months of working my dreams with natural dream work, knew that I wanted to be a practitioner in the method. But it took some time, really, of working the dreams myself to get to the point where I was a practitioner. But natural dream work, it's really not about interpretation. It's about bringing dreams to life. And it really validated this experience I was having since I was a kid, which is that my dreams felt real. I had like real friendships with presumably made up little boys and girls in my dreams when I was a little girl. I was having, as I mentioned, real encounters with people and emotions. And I would wake up, I would crying or wake, I mean, a lot of people do wake up with real terror, real awe, real surprise. And for me, working with dreams in an interpretive way didn't really honor that emotional experience I was having, and natural dream work really does. So what we do in natural dream work is in session, we re-enter the dream, we slow it down, we get curious about what we think happened, and we try to feel into what happened. And it's not so easy at the beginning, because a lot of us are really in our minds, both in waking life and in our dreams. We're in our minds and we are in story and we are in what we think we know or what, our assumptions. And the first thing you do when you start working your dreams with natural dream work is to question what you know. So, for instance, I'm sure this has happened to you. You land in a dream in the middle of something, right? You're in a store, you're in a car, you're in a field, you're something. And maybe you know some of the backstory. I was just coming from work and all of a sudden I'm in a field. And I'm there with, my brother and my sister. And in actual dream work, we say, okay, where does the dream start? Oh, well, I'm in a field. How do you know that you were at work? Oh, I just know it. I just knew that I was. So, then we get curious about that. Well, maybe not. Maybe you weren't at work. And then, in addition to questioning what we know inside the dream, we try to get into the feeling sensations. We try to remember what was an encounter actually like. Did you hear dialogue? Did you feel a sensation? Yeah, the other thing we start to realize when we slow dreams down is not just how much in our minds we are, but how reactive we are. And when we think we're having certain feelings inside of dreams, oftentimes we're reacting. We're reacting because we're triggered. We're reacting because we're activated. We're reacting because we have conditioned ways of being, patterns, repeated patterns. And we bring that from waking life into the dream. So in actual dream work, we try to start to distinguish between our conditioned ways of being and true feeling by trying to sink into feeling in the dream space.
I love it. I did a little bit of this sort of thing with Robert Moss with the dream re-entry and challenging what comes up. Because, like, as an example, there could be a dream that there's this crocodile coming, and you wake up out of fright, and it's like you're so scared of the crocodile that it's going to hurt you. But then when we go back into the dream, it actually turned out that the crocodile was coming with a message, like as a friend, as an ally. And yeah, it was just, I think that's what you mean by like our reactions was like, ah, like my mind's there going, this is a dangerous animal, when really the dream's just trying to bring this like spiritual message from nature through. And because I've just been taught that they're bad, instantly froze up and woke myself up. So I can definitely see how your method of going back in and slowing it down, and I think the thing was that I wasn't even scared at all with the feeling. It was like I wanted to know more until he opened its mouth to speak, and I went, oh, that's gonna hurt me. And it's like if you just removed that part, I could have gotten so much further.
Well, it's interesting, actually. Like, I mean, I think it's a really great example, and a wild animal like a crocodile is a really good example. You know, in natural dream work, we would say that that reaction that you had, that's actually a normal, typical reaction to being to facing a crocodile. And which isn't to diminish what you're saying, but that there's one way of being with the dream, which is that you reacted to with fear. To being with a crocodile. And I don't know, have you ever been near a crocodile in waking life? Has that ever happened to you?
Just at the zoo, but I was little and it was really scary. So,
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's good to know. And in natural dream work, I would ask someone like that. You know, it's not often that people are facing a crocodile, but it seems like you had that experience. And so that may be, that dream may have been also bringing to the surface for you a feeling that the dream wanted you to feel, right? Which maybe was real fear and terror. I often see that people will have dreams about wild animals and not be afraid. And sort of like you were mentioning, saying, wow, a crocodile. It's like, it's amazing. I get to be here with a crocodile. And then I would have a question in that case, which is, why aren't you scared of the crocodile? And not as a judgment or as a criticism, because you know that's the other thing too. None of this is about me judging or criticizing the way that anybody reacts inside of dr a dream, but just to sort of point out, oh, here's the dream giving you a wild animal, but you're not acting afraid at all. Well, like, does that remind you of something from waking life? Is there an experience that you've had in waking life where you've been faced with something that's really frightening and you either n are numb to it or have some sort of reaction that maybe isn't healthy when you're facing a wild animal? But you know what I love about what you're saying is that I think there's a danger in getting to be too symbolic, right? I think that symbolism, I do think the dream sometimes, because dreams speak an image, I do think there is symbolism in dreams. So I'm for sure not ignoring that. I think the danger is when we put too much stock in the symbolism
Like
and
if I
don't honor
just
the feeling.
sorry, like if I just looked up the universal meaning for a crocodile in a dream and then went, oh, that resonates, and then only stuck with that. And like maybe that is part of it, but there's so many other layers. And I think from what you're saying is it could be that there's a fear somewhere in my life and I'm repressing feeling it in my waking life and saying, I'm fine, everything's fine, I'm not afraid. And squishing it down, and then the dreams bringing it up to make me feel that way. Or what I'm also picking up from what you're saying is that it could even be something from when I was that age that I saw that crocodile in my waking life, and that there's something going on there that I've kind of got to go back and reignite or heal or give attention to. Maybe like a child
Exactly.
thing.
Exactly. And what's interesting too, what we find is that oftentimes the dream will give us something from the past, an image or a person or an event from the past, because the feeling that it brings up has resonance with a feeling that you're maybe trying to work through or move through, or you're not feeling in your waking life now. Sometimes, for instance, let's say moving through a hard time with a partner or a spouse, we're pretty easy. Most people are pretty easily activated when it comes to their partner or spouse. And oftentimes the dreams know that about us, and they're not going to give us our partner or spouse in a dream, but they might give us somebody else who activates us in a similar way. And once we can truly be with the feeling and not our reaction, we can then, touch into what's going on in waking life. Where does that feel familiar in your waking life? And then make the connection. And then there's this beautiful feedback loop too, because then in this sort of safe container of working just with a dream, because we don't really bring in waking life so much into natural dream work sessions, except to feel into this emotional resonance. We're really not talking about waking life so much, but you can take what you've learned about yourself and about your reactivity and about your behaviors into your waking life, and you start consciously noticing how you're doing that in your waking life too. And then sometimes things just happen on their own. You don't even need to consciously change or shift anything. The insight in the dream is enough, or the feeling in the dream is enough, and then just things start to magically shift. It's amazing.
So it's like the dream is providing you a little highlight into your reactivity around certain situations to make you aware of it, where you may have not even been aware as to, say, how you were treating your partner the day before or something. It shows that. But also, I think with when it changes your, say, your partner into a different character or a different person, do you think that's so that you is what you're saying, so that you can see the situation or the story from a different perspective? Because with having your partner removed from the image in your mind and it's someone else, you might be able to see the storyline of what's just gone on. Say you'd had a disagreement, but you can only see it from your point of view. Whereas if they change, your dream changes the partner to someone else, and then you're viewing it in a whole different way. You can see things without your own small waking life perspective.
Definitely, definitely that. And also, how we're reacting to our partners, probably how we react to other people, maybe in a lesser or different way, or maybe it's how we reacted. We basically react. We have conditioned ways of being and patterns, and they show up in a lot of different places. So it might be easier to have a dream where we're acting, let's say, from a place of jealousy, or possessiveness. It might be easier for us to have a dream where that shows up in a work situation than having a dream where it shows up. And again, depends on sort of what's the hot topic for us, and also where we are in our journey. Sometimes we're more ready to come face to face with the issue itself and with the feelings itself in the dream. But I think at least in the beginning, our dreams know us, and they give us what we're more willing or more able to be with from a feeling perspective. And then that evolves over time as we become better, I think, at feeling both in our dreams and in waking life. A lot of us are not as good at feeling as we think we are. We're really good at reacting. I think we think that anxiety is a feeling, or we think that rage is a feeling. And typically those are reactions. They're not feelings, and they're covering up fear or wonder or shame, And this kind of work really gets it helps us get better at being with the entire spectrum of feeling. And the great thing is that when you're willing to be with the suffering and the grief that for sure comes up in dreams, your dreams also give you more miracles, more awe, more joy. And who doesn't want more of that?
Yeah, that's so true. You know, I'm someone that I used to hate dreaming. I had so many nightmares. I hated going to bed. And then when I started doing dream work, there was a lot of like nasty things that were coming up and stuff I had to work through. But now I can say that some of the best times of my life that I've ever had have been within dreams. So it changed drastically for me from being like a very negative experience every night and then like working hard and doing the healing and all of that sort of a thing to now it's like, oh, I traveled to Italy the other night and was just on holidays with my husband overnight and it felt like it was 4 days worth of a holiday. So I woke up feeling so refreshed and like, who gets to just go on holidays overnight, you know? And it's feels so real. Like you said, it's a felt thing. There's emotion, there's memory, there's sense within a dream. Like it was incredible. So, yeah, the scary stuff is definitely worth it for the good stuff, that's for sure.
I think what you're saying is exactly right, and I've been having those experiences too, which is actually kind of, entertaining too. If you're going through, let's say, a mundane or a boring part of life, where you don't have a lot of money to spend on travel, or you can't get out of the house for whatever reason,
It's so true.
yeah, sometimes too, there's like an entertainment piece to being able to feel more and have more sensory, alive, rich experience in dreaming.
Definitely. I have two little kids, and one of them's 1.5. And I feel like she's been 1.5 forever because I have such long dreams that it's like I said, 4 days in one night. It's just so interesting because I'm getting to go and do all of these experiences through night that it really slows down my waking life. Same thing, like I feel like it's been 5 years since I last had a birthday because I'm just out and about and doing so much. But like you said, like she's just a 1.5-year-old, so I was on maternity leave, stuck at home with a baby. Like, I had a cesarean, can't drive anywhere, can't go out partying with my friends, can't drink because I'm breastfeeding, all of that. So that was very boring during the day. I mean, beautiful because I have a baby, but boring for me. So at nighttime, I was partying, I was out at, night clubbing, going on holidays, doing all this fun stuff during my dreams. So it gave me something to look forward to.
Yeah, I definitely I have the same I've had a similar experience as that as well, and also I think just what I heard you saying too is that it's changed for you the experience of time in your waking life and the perception of time in waking life, and I think it does that, and also the more you're able to slow down in your dreams. Well, first, we have the practice of slowing down our dreams through dream work. And then somehow that translates into being able to be more present in your dreams. And then the ability to be more present in your dreams leads to the ability to be more present in our waking life. And it's not always easy to be present in our waking life either, because waking life is also filled with pain and suffering. But as someone who has grown children, well, children who are teens and moving into adulthood, I can tell you that I have longing, I have real longing for those moments when my kids were babies. I think I did a pretty good job of being present when they were babies, but it doesn't matter. They grow up. They grow up and those moments are gone. And I'm just trying to do an ever better job at appreciating when I can these now moments with my kids, and slowing down in general, I think helps with that. Being able to feel my feelings, being able to be more embodied, having more embodied awareness, which I have a lot more now since I've been doing this work, allows me to be in those moments. And these moments will pass too, but I think that I will have felt them more. It will,
Yes,
yeah.
definitely. Dream work did that for me too, because I was wanting to create more awareness in my dreams so I could become lucid. So of course, like practicing touching things and smelling things and just like focusing on something. And so of course, I start doing that in my waking life as well. So it's just so nice because it's like, yeah, I'm practicing being aware way more than I used to. And it does, it slows down time. So you've done, like you were saying earlier, you've done a lot of research on precognition and time travel in dreams. Can you elaborate how dreams can connect us to our past and future selves and why this connection's important?
Yeah, so I have a pretty open mind when it comes to time and time travel. And I always have. And I think as a kid, I was mostly focused on time travel machines. But what I realized through my dream experience is that I think that time travel, in a sense, is more likely related to memory and our experience of time and our perception of time. And I think that, as I mentioned before, that there are states that we can get into, like dreaming. Dreaming is one state that we can get into where we experience time differently than we do in waking 3D space-time. There's a lot of really interesting research coming out right now in consciousness studies. And I think we're going to see in a couple of years some interesting shifts in how we talk about memory and perception of time. But I think that there's a way that we can not only receive information from the future or from the past or the distant past, but I think that there might be a possibility that we're actively sending information to ourself across time. It possibly intentionally, possibly unintentionally, likely both. That's important because that's going to upend a lot of our beliefs about memory and life and death, and in relationships and experience. And what it does for me on an individual level, because I believe in it right now, even though I don't yet have proof, I've already taken on a practice of asking my future self for guidance or for signs or for support or love or messages. And then I've taken on the practice of sending comfort, guidance, love, and messages to my past self. The way that I do that and what I would recommend to people is through journaling. I have a very regular journal practice, and now I've gotten into the habit of cataloging my journals so that I have a table of contents in the front where I write future self, and it's a little note so that if I'm reading the journal 3 years, 4 years from now, I know that my past self needed something from me. And I have a method that employs music to try to evoke feeling and maybe to connect with that past self. And in those moments, I sit and I try to connect with that past self and send her the messages that she was desperate for at that time.
I love this. I'm smiling so much. I don't know. I believe it too. So I'm like, yes, I want to know more. This is really cool. I've heard about like through dream work, going back and finding like a younger version of yourself and offering them healing in whatever way is needed at the time. And I've heard that that then carries on through this way. I have not heard, maybe I've had my head in the sand about asking future you in the way that you're talking about. So, do you have like a particular song and a particular scent or something like that that you think connects it all? That's really interesting, like an anchor.
Yeah, so for me, it's music. I think it's great like that you brought up scent because I think for some people that's it too. I definitely think it's sensory experience. Music is really powerful for a lot of people. I've been also studying and researching music and the brain. They're really interesting, some really interesting books on music and the brain. And I personally understood about 10 or 15 years ago that there was some connection for me between music, memory, time, feeling. I'm someone who's I'm very nostalgic, and I can easily flip into a state of nostalgia, and music really enhances that. I think there are good things and bad things about that, about being a nostalgic. But as part of this experiment, so about 4 years ago now, I started really taking on this future self practice, and I created playlists for myself. And the playlists are connected to seasons of the year and time. And so I get in the habit of listening to those same playlists the same time of year. And then when I'm also writing a message to my future self, listening to those songs, I think there's something about the songs that may be connecting us. That's my theory. Still not proven, but I will let you know if and when there's proof. I think it's working. I think it's working, but certainly just right now, anecdotally, not scientifically proven.
It would be very, very hard to scientifically prove that. But I feel like if you're saying, I feel it's working and I feel better and I feel comforted that I know that I can do that, well, that's proof. You know, it might be a placebo, but it's still working. I don't know. I'm sure you've probably tried to think about it. In what ways could you scientifically prove it anyway?
I think right now it is really difficult to scientifically prove a lot about dreams and also about just internal experiences, right? Like knowing what one person is feeling or thinking and compared to how another person is feeling or thinking. So this I think is true for dream work too. We're often a lot of people are often asking for signs, you know, whether it's a sign from their higher self, a sign from God, the divine, someone who passed. But then we're not always so good at being open to how those messages come, right? And so what I love about dream work as it relates to this is that if the more we can be open to image and feeling as the sign, the more support we can get from whomever, higher self, soul, God. And you know, it's the same thing for sending messages back to your past self from your future self. There are some times, I'm sure this has happened to you, where you've been comforted and you're not sure why, or it's all worked out and you're not sure how, right? And maybe it's an angel, and maybe it's a divine source, or maybe your future self got the message to you. Right, not in the way that we get messages in our waking life, not through words, not through language, but maybe through song, music, feelings, something, some kind of embodied experience. And maybe it came through a dream, and maybe we finally understood and processed and integrated the dream. You know yourself better than anybody else, and I would venture to say that your higher self or your dream self knows you even better. And knows ways to reach you to get to get the message or the comfort or the guidance across to you, across time and space.
I love it. That's so cool. That's opened up a whole part of my mind now. That's so awesome. So, besides your work as a dream work practitioner, you're also really interested in the paranormal, including things like reincarnation and psychic phenomena. Like, do you just want to talk about it, or how do these interests influence you?
Yeah, so just like dreams, I've been interested in the paranormal and supernatural experiences since I was a little kid. I was a voracious reader and I loved any book at the bookstore that was about ghosts or aliens or UFOs. Only fiction, because back then, I mean, kids today and teenagers today don't realize how lucky they are, how information about those types of experiences are readily available. When I was a kid, I remember going to the library and sneaking into the W section of the library, hoping there was a book on witchcraft. And there wasn't, you know, like there were books on everything else, but not, you know, woodworking, Woodrow Wilson, but not witchcraft. So I've been interested in the paranormal for a long time, and sort of similar with dreams, I didn't really have a community to talk about that with, and And it still is today, though not as much. It really is. People have a lot of skepticism. There's a lot of ridicule around the paranormal and the supernatural. And I never understood that. I really never understood why.
I think it's fear.
I think you're right. I think it's fear. I think it's, I think it's people. It's sometimes it's arrogance too, and maybe arrogance, like you said, is also fear. Right, fear of being wrong, fear of not knowing, fear of reality not being what it seems. For me, that's exciting. Like, I love the idea that there's a hidden reality.
Yeah, thank God this isn't just all there is to the
Right. I mean, there's I've also had some terror. I've had some terrifying, creepy, paranormal experiences too. So I'm not ignoring that, but just in general, I would rather the world be mysterious, and I would rather live my life curious than so certain that Bigfoot doesn't exist, or that human civilization only began, 6,000 years ago. I think true scientists are people who stay open and stay curious and are willing to be adventurers and discoverers. And so that's sort of my worldview on all those topics. But then on a more personal level, I didn't have anyone. I had a friend or my dad to talk to about paranormal experiences, but sometimes I had really profound or scary experiences happen to me, and I wish there was somebody, a professional, that I could have talked to who wouldn't have just automatically assumed I was mentally unstable. And I think that's the norm. That's really the norm still. There are actually more people having paranormal experiences than there are people who believe in them. So there are people who don't believe in the paranormal experiences that they anyway had. So what I also offer in one-on-one sessions is just a place for people to come and talk about their experiences, to have someone who's interested in listening, who's willing to be curious about their experience, which doesn't mean I'm naive or I automatically believe anything that anyone is presenting to me, but that they have space to share their experience, to process it, and to integrate it. I think is really important, and it's not something that is offered really. So, and I think the other thing too is that dream work is still pretty unconventional as far as, fields go, but it's a little bit more conventional than, researching ancient lost civilizations like Atlantis. But as I started to become more secure in my research of dreams and my writing about dreams, I found that I started feeling more confident and secure about my research and writing in all these other areas too. And yeah, I didn't want to be ridiculed or shamed out of writing about things that I actually have a true interest in and really think are legitimate areas of study.
And there's
Yeah,
other
so
people
I've
that are
been.
interested too, and they're probably looking in the library for a book about these things. Now you can provide it. That's awesome. What are your offerings for people?
I write a lot. Professionally, I've been a writer my whole career, and so the way that I process information, or the way that I bring new questions or ideas out to the world is through writing mostly. So I write. I have a Medium page. I have a Substack, and I also write a lot on my website, jenmedenberg.com. I also have a Patreon where I'm not producing writing there. I'm doing something a little bit different for me, which is I produce something called an audio chat. It's not quite a podcast. It's sort of like I call it a love child between a podcast and like a voice memo with a really close friend. It's just sort of where I show up to process theories that I'm considering or talk about new discoveries that I'm making. So that's available only on Patreon. And then a long-term project I'm working on is I'm working on a collection of essays that is basically everything we've talked about today, but it's part memoir and part sort of documentary that links the supernatural topics of reincarnation, of lost civilizations, of psychic dreams, links them through the lens of trauma and healing. So the idea is that I believe that there's personal and collective trauma that surrounds all of these topics, and I weave in my own experiences with personal and collective trauma. And have written essays on those topics. So yeah, that's a book proposal I'm currently working on.
That sounds so fascinating. That sounds really cool. I was only just talking, I think yesterday, to somebody about the phrase or the name of the witch wound. So do you know about that? The witch wound, it's like where, say, someone in your ancestry was a witch back in the day when they used to get burnt at the stake. And it was a bad thing to have psychic abilities and be able to do all this. And that wounding gets passed down through the generations. And so I feel like that is sort of what contributes to when people have fears around their own psychic abilities. You know, people say, oh, I've been seeing these visions or hearing these things, but I'm shutting it down. I don't want to be psychic. It's like, why not? And I think that that kind of contributes to it. What are your
I
thoughts?
agree, and I agree on that completely. I have not heard about the witch wound, but I'm very interested. I definitely I think that there's something about ancestral trauma that does get passed down. Both I think there's ancestral trauma in our actual bloodline and in our DNA, and I think that there's trauma that I believe in reincarnation, and I believe that our souls have been incarnated many times, and I believe that we are processing some of that trauma or that karma in our waking lives, and I think some of that gets processed also in dreams. And so we didn't really have a chance to talk about it today, but I do think that some dreams are dreams of past lives, but relating it back to natural dream work, it sort of doesn't matter if it's a dream of a past life or a dream of this life or a dream of the future or a dream of somebody else's waking life experience, because I think that that's possible too. I think consciousness has the ability to travel and be in the perspective of somebody else in dreams. It doesn't really matter when we go back to discussing feeling, what is really healing? What's healing is being in the feeling, whatever it is. And learning how to feel it and learning how to be with it, right? And I do think that can heal the ancestral trauma, it can heal the past life trauma, and it can heal whatever's coming up in our waking life today. And in that, and as much as I love the theory of dreams and dreaming, and as much as I love talking about all the paranormal and supernatural topics, what I really love about natural dream work is it doesn't matter. Actually, you can bring any dream to session. It doesn't matter. What we're trying to get at is feeling. And if you can get to the feeling, there's going to be something that heals from that. And what's amazing too is like you could be healing wounds of your ancestors. You could be healing back in time, forward in time too. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
That's so cool. Do you have any advice on how to sit with an uncomfortable feeling and feel it?
That is a really good question, and it's something that I'm still working on. I think that for a lot of people, spirituality and religion can be supportive with that. For a lot of people, therapy, for a lot of people, meditation. What's been, I actually have gotten a lot of relief through acupuncture and herbs and Chinese medicine for that. So it really depends on the person. But I think, what doing it in the dream session, it sort of allows us to practice a little bit for waking life, right? Like if we're willing to sit in a dream session opposite our dream worker and just like own up to like, wow, that's shame. Yeah, I feel shame. It's maybe 5 minutes, it's 10 minutes, but it's just getting better at at doing it and seeing afterwards that you're okay. You're okay. You know, that you're safe and you're okay. And it's sort of like exposure therapy. We practice getting comfortable with the uncomfortable in dream work session, and then it starts becoming a little bit less uncomfortable in waking life. Not necessarily easy. I don't think it's ever easy, right, to feel grief or pain or suffering, but we know that we can do it and get to the other side after.
That's really good advice. So, not going it alone, having some kind of support, whichever modality that you'd like that to be. Recently, I found breath work to be amazing for that. And yeah, your way of revisiting or re-entering into the dream and touching base on those emotions of what you were feeling and then just feeling them a little bit more, help release it. And then knowing or having a tether back to your future and knowing that you're going to be okay. Like you're not going to die from feeling this fear. It's not going to physically hurt you. The only thing that would physically hurt you is you if you kept bottling it up and holding on to it, and then it can turn into disease. So being a little bit uncomfortable for a little period of time is definitely worth the release afterwards. Hey. Awesome.
Absolutely.
So, for the listeners who are interested in exploring their own dreams or perhaps even starting natural dream work, what advice would you give to them? Like, where should they begin?
Yeah. So for people interested in natural dream work, I would definitely recommend visiting thenaturaldream.com and reading some of the blogs from other practitioners there. We actually have a practitioners who are also really good writers, both. And have contributed some really beautiful essays that I think highlight other ways that natural dream work can help people. I've shared how it's helped me, but I think other people have really good stories too. And then, yeah, I think, you know, really just to for people to value their dreams, really to value them, to see them as important. Not too important either, right? Like we talk about, it's really important to get good sleep, and it's really important to have, you know, to be stable mentally. But just to understand that we spend a lot of time just like wishing we knew the answers, or wishing we had guidance, or wishing for clues about what to do or how to be. And I really think our dreams are so rich. And such a good resource for that. And our dreams are us. I mean, they're coming from us, whether it's our future self or our higher self or whatever. Paying attention to your dreams is paying attention to your soul. You know, and we all could use a little bit more of that. But just to value them, know that they're important. They can be fun and entertaining too. But a lot of them have something really important to offer you.
Thank you. That's great advice. Yeah, and I love how even with you saying about how you were journaling, like every dream, because even the ones that you think are boring or mundane, like you pointed out, could be precognitive dreams. And then you're just showing you've got this superpower and like I feel like you're really in tune with yourself if you're having future dreams as well. Like you've got that ability, that openness. So, yeah, writing them all down and revisiting old dream journals too, just to test that out and see what you may have dreamt about from the future that you didn't even realize.
Right. And I would say, because you mentioned this earlier, and I would say that people should also, you know, if they start realizing they're having psychic dreams, there may be a tendency to worry that every dream is a psychic dream. I don't, is what I have to say. I don't think on average the dreams are traveling back to us so that we can save something or fix something. I don't even know that we could. I don't even know that given information about the future, we can fix or change anything. It might all just be a loop, right? An information loop. But I would say have fun with it. Have fun with it and don't worry. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. That's great. Jen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Dream Hub podcast. Your insights into dream work and the spiritual journey through our dreams are truly fascinating. If the listeners want to learn more about Jen, visit her website and follow her on Instagram. And I've put all the links down in the show notes so you can just go and click on it. I'm really interested to check out these audio chats on your Patreon. That sounds really, really cool. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your wisdom and experiences.
Thank you for having me. It really has been fun and a pleasure.